ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 35। या नास्ताय नरो राजन् न प्रमद्येत कर्हि चेत् धावन्निमील्य वा नेत्रे न स्खलेन्न पतेतिह। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. So the purport, you know, is already covered half of it. We will start from where Srila Shambhu left. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.10 and 11, the Lord has clearly stated that even if a devotee is lacking in his Vedic knowledge or ignorant of Vaishnava literature, the Lord personally enlightens him from within his heart if the devotee is actually engaged in loving service to the Lord. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada states, when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda, a very influential and learned scholar in the Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being sentimentalist. Sometimes, philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that the most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, this is not the fact. There are very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. Yet, this facility given by the Lord cannot justify unauthorized concoctions put forward about the process of devotional service in the name of spontaneous devotion. In this connection, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur stated, Bhagavat Prapti Artham Prithan Marga Karuna Karunakta Ati Dushana Vaham Iva. If one manufactures his own process of devotional service for the sake of attaining the Supreme Lord, such a concoction will cause total ruination. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur goes on to quote, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpadeiva Kalpate. If one so-called unalloyed devotion to the Lord Hari does not take into account the regulations of the Shruti Smriti Puranas and the Pancharatra, it is nothing more than a disturbance to the society. In other words, even if one is not learned in the Vedic literatures, if he is engaged in loving service of the Lord, he is to be accepted as a pure devotee. Nonetheless, such a loving devotion cannot anyway contradict the injunctions of the revealed scriptures. Such groups as the Prakrita Sahajiyas ignore the standard regulations of Vaishnava Dharma and engage in illicit, degraded activities, dressing as Radha and Krishna in the name of spontaneous devotion. They claim that because such spontaneous devotion is revealed by the Lord Himself, they need not refer to the standard scriptures. Similarly, all over the world, there are pseudo-religionists who manufacture their own process and claim that they are receiving knowledge from the Lord Himself within their hearts. Therefore, it is very important to understand, as stated here, that spontaneous revelation by the Lord within the heart is meant not to alter the eternal process of devotion service to the Lord, but to give a supplementary facility to a sincere devotee who is ignorant of revealed scriptures. In other words, the revealed scriptures describe the eternal process of service to the Lord. Since the Lord is eternal and the living entity is eternal, the process of their loving relationship is also eternal. The Lord never changes His essential nature, nor does the living entity. Therefore, there is no need to change the essential process of loving service to the Lord. Special revelation by the Lord is meant to give scriptural knowledge by another means and not to contradict the scriptural knowledge. Yanastaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit dhavan nimilyava netre naskale na patet iha. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Hare Krishna. So this is very interesting word, one of the words from the Srimad Bhagavatam which encourages, you know, a new sadhaka. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also gives another explanation to these words. Like he says that in Yan Astaya Naro Rajan, means isn't Asta. Asta means having faith. So he explains that it's not that the devotee has yet started performing the devotional service, he just have a faith. So in this condition also, a devotee can progress, you know, and this verse applies to him also in that way. And pramada means, you know, not bewildering or inattentiveness, like that. You know, so obstacles cannot overpower him. In that, even in that initial stage, provided he is having a very firm faith. So that implies that in the when you are starting the devotional services, there will be many obstacles coming into your path, and if you are very faithful to the process, and we will not get disturbed by those things. Also, the dhavan nimilya va netre means it's something like, you know, it's running. So running in literary sense, it's running. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that it is means he is rapidly progressing towards or going to the goal. Means it's like, you know, overstepping certain things. So when you are in a hurry, sometimes you forget certain things. So in that way, the concession is given here is that when you are rushing towards, you know, with much very focus in devotional service, you know, certain times you may omit certain aspect of it. So that is accepted. That is not a problem. Like there are 64 angas of the bhakti, devotional service. You know, while explaining it, Rupa Goswami says that, you know, first he explains the 10 principles which need to be followed, and then again 10 principles which need to be, like, you know, avoided, and then the next 44 principles he explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the purport of this verse is that even if we are following only even one anga, you know, that is sufficient for us to take back to, like, you know, to achieve the goal. Whereas comparing to the other path like jnana or karma, so if you don't in it complete aspect, it will not give you the desired result. Okay, and the biggest problem is, you know, sometimes we get stuck up, like, you know, following all the details of the bhakti. So here the explanation is given that even you are following only one is sufficient. But if you are not even following one, and that is the biggest problem, you know. So then you cannot claim that you are a devotee, or, you know, you will get the benefit of these verses. And in the purport, from where we are discussing, like, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has already stated that even if a devotee is lacking in the Vedic knowledge. So basically in the purport where the part, where section we are discussing, one aspect is that the Lord is giving revelations from internally to the devotee. And another is that that internal revelation should not be a basis for a concoction, you know, establishing a concoction to the, you know, alter the meanings of the devotional path. So in 10.10, तेषां सतत युक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन मां उपयान्ति ते So Krishna is giving the assurance that if you are very sincerely executing the devotional service, he will give you the necessary intelligence. So Buddhi Yogam, Prabhupada explains, you know, translate as real intelligence. And he will give you that. He's giving the assurance. So if you read the second chapter of Gita, means almost like from 2.339, Eshade Abhihida Sankhye Buddhi Yogam Imam Shunu, from that verse onwards. So again, Krishna is actually start explaining what is Buddhi Yoga. So if you refer that section of the Gita, from 2.39 to 2.53, almost like 14-15 verses, he refers buddhi, the word buddhi, almost like 11 to 12 times, means. So is he giving that? Then that's, you know, that make Arjuna to ask, what is this, you know, sthita prajna, like, you know. So because Krishna was saying about what vyavasayatmika buddhi, achala buddhi, 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 repeatedly he was telling. So that made Arjuna to think, you know, what exactly Krishna is meaning by this buddhi yoga. So buddhi yoga is, in one of the lectures, Bhaktivedyapurna Maharaj explains why it is known as Bhakti Yoga. Is Bhakti Yoga only, but why it is specifically told as Bhakti Yoga. So in Karma Yoga, you generally accept things. Means, whatever in this world is there, we are accepting. Basically, it is for our own enjoyment in this world. So we are always in the mode of accepting. And in Jnana Yoga, we are in the mode of rejecting everything of this world. You know. So he says that both of these are on a mental platform, because accepting, rejecting, bhoga and tyaga is on the mental platform. And in that mental platform, what happens is the mind controls your intelligence. Okay. On when you come to bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, so here the intelligence has to control the mind. Okay. So that's why it is known as buddhi yoga. Buddhi has been used there. Otherwise, buddhi is always in the control of the mind. So another, basically it's explaining the superiority of the buddhi yoga here, means even in karma yoga and jnana yoga, another drawback of them, they have an end. Means in karma yoga, what is finally when you achieve your desired result, means, you know, that enjoyment, or even if you start, come to the bhakti process itself, the karma yoga ends there, means. Even jnana yoga, once you get a liberation, what is the use of then and again that, you know, nobody practices jnana, means. But Bhakti Yoga is something unique, that it is eternal. Okay, so in this aspect, like, you know, Madhavacharya in his philosophy, it explains, you know, he gives the scriptural evidences that how the bhakti or devotional process is eternal, to establish that, you know, the jiva and the Ishvara, both are different. In Baldevidya Bhushan, in explaining while what is the nine pramayas Madhavacharya has proposed, said one of them was bhedam, bhedam cha satyam, means bheda is always true. Means in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada write, you know, why it is known as our religion is known as Sanatana Dharma, means dharma, which is the basic constitutional property of the soul, is to serve Krishna. So he differentiate the what is religion and what is dharma. You cannot actually translate dharma as religion, because religion is a faith, and faith can change according to your time, place and circumstances. Faith can change, but dharma cannot change. So that's why it is known as Sanatana Dharma, eternal. Also recently I was reading one of the article by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. And he was given another perspective from an academic perspective, how this karma, jnana and bhakti is connected. So from a dialectic perspective, he was telling that they have a proposition like thesis, antithesis and synthesis. So he was saying that karma is like a thesis, means a proposition. And where you are enjoying these worldly affairs, you know, and it comes to its peak in Karma Mimamsa, where they say that even sacrifices, generally you do sacrifices to get some of your desires fulfilled. Then Karma Mimamsa, the peak comes, then they say that the sacrifices can force the gods to fulfill your desires. And they are bound to deliver it. So you don't need to worship them, you only do the sacrifice. That is the extent karma yoga goes over there. And then he proposed that is an antithesis as jnana yoga, where they say that the entire material world is an illusion, it is not a reality. You have to go beyond this material world, where you finally dissolve with the undifferentiated absolute truth, absolute spirit. That basically the jnana yoga means it proposes the propositions by Shankaracharya is mainly considered. So that impersonal proposal, that is considered the jnana yoga. Then he says the bhakti yoga, which comes as a synthesis of both, means like, so it's a sublimation of both this karma and jnana. And we are in bhakti yoga, we don't reject the material world as per in karma, in a jnana yoga, or neither enjoys as per the karma yoga, but we accept it is a reality, but we take the facilities in this material world for the pleasure of the Lord. And goes further ahead, it is not that we are going to dissolve in an undifferentiated absolute truth, but it is far beyond that. There is a spiritual being, where there is a spiritual person, and there is a spiritual attributes, character, everything is there. So for academic purposes, this type of words only, terminologies will work. For us, it is a symbol as karma, jnana, and bhakti yoga. So one of the most often dilemma we come across is, is a devotee need to get into the scrutiny, study of the scriptures or not, whether knowledge is necessary for a devotee or not. Sometimes people say that, no, you have to study the scriptures thoroughly. Sometimes, no, you properly engage in your devotional service, everything will be automatically revealed in your heart. So this conflict always goes on in a devotee's heart. So in this, the 34 and 35 is actually giving an explanation to that, So a devotee's sincere effort. So it's not that Krishna says in 9.3, right? No, 9, Patram Pushpam Bhalam Toyam Yomai Bhaktiya Prayachati. So sometimes devotees take it for granted. So that verse is given with a particular reference. Even if in an extreme condition where you don't have anything to offer to the Lord, you can offer a flower or garland, just a flower or a glass of water. It's not that if you are a billionaire, you can afford much more capacity, you still come and offer only one flower. So that is not accepted over there. So if you study the scriptures, Acharyas explained that, the understanding of the knowledge is required, but if you don't have that much intelligence or capacity to study the scriptures, fine, you accept the lotus, the shelter of the guru, he will guide you and you follow, and Krishna eventually will, whatever is necessary, he will reveal to you in the heart. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says that Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrita. So there Jiva Goswami explains that, even though Rupa Goswami says Anyabhilashita Shunyam, means the other desires has to be completely zero, but he is not saying the jnana karma the shunyam, he is saying only anavritam. So that means that we need jnana and karma for execution of devotional service, but what type of jnana and karma is a matter of discussion. So jnana, which refers to the the impersonal aspect or the karmakanda aspect of the scriptural teachings, that we need to avoid it. So that anavrata means it should not be eclipsing the bhakti. So if you are getting into that details, it will be affecting your bhakti. But otherwise, to practice bhakti, you need karma. Means your activity itself is executing devotional service, you need activity. And you should know also how to do that. So jnana and karma is essential for practicing, to a certain degree is needed for a devotee to practice it. And then again in Bhagavadam, second chapter, it explains, Suda Goswami started answering the questions of the question raised by the sages, Vasudeve Bhagavadi Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Janam Cha Yat Ahaitukam. So when a devotee starts practicing bhakti, immediately that jnana and vairagya will come. Means what? Ahaitukam, without causeless. So again in the Purport Prabhupada says, what does the causeless means? The causeless means it has nothing to do with the karma kanda or jnana kanda aspect of the jnana. So whatever devotion we need, you know, devotional aspect, whatever necessary jnana is required, that will be revealed to you. Okay. So generally, so we can acquire jnana by two ways in a overview point of view. Like you can say that one, you can by studying yourself, you can hear, study the scriptures and get the knowledge. Or another aspect is like what in this purport saying, that internal revelation. So externally acquiring the knowledge, everybody is familiar, you know, either in a classroom or a guru one-to-one relationship, guru teachers, or in association of the devotees, we learn many points how we to execute the devotion service. But the main, the contextual point is that internal revelations, how do you verify that? So otherwise, if you are not checked, the internal revelations can take you to a deviations. So that's what Vishwanatha Chakravarti was saying, that Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panjaratra Vidhim Vina Ekantiki Harer Bhakti Utpadeiva Kalpate. So whatever revelations you come across, you know, like in during the process of devotion service, means everybody have an experience that a certain things comes to your mind naturally. But if it is not conforming to the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, so then we cannot accept it. Because otherwise we will be getting into the Prakrita Sakajiya, as explained in the purport. We will be getting into Aula, Baula, that type of things. Like, you know, you may be dressing up like a Sakhi and performing that, all these pastimes of the Lord. You know? But whereas we are like a Sadhaka, Vaidhi Bhakti we are following, you know, Rupa Goswami defines what is Vaidhi Bhakti. Shasane Naiva Shastrasya Sa Vaidhi Bhakti Uchyate. Means Shasane Naiva. Means Shasana means like it is, you have to, the rules and regulations, whatever has been given, the Shasana of the scriptures, by following that you are becoming Vaidhi Bhakti. We are not following Raga Bhakti in that way. So the purpose of the revelations is to give the spiritual knowledge, not to contradict it. So many times we can see that these upper sampradayas or the sahajiyas, so it we cannot reconcile their propositions with the scriptures many times. So it is a facility given to the sincere devotee who is ignorant of the revealed scriptures. So in the purport to this 10.10, Prabhupada write that a person may have a spiritual master and attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him the instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. So this revelation part is exclusively kept for a sincere devotee. And you can't always, like, you know, take a support of that and execute our devotion service. For a normal, like many of us, have to rely on our authorities or the policy is given by the Guru and his representatives for that. So, this, see, there are many verses like this in the Shastras where a devotee may get, you know, chances of getting carried away. Like here, you know, so if you are not very careful, missing of an Anga, so there is a difference between Anga, devotion Anga, and then the Nama Aparad, Seva Aparad, and all those things. If you are not clear with that, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur wants, like in Madhurya Kandambini, while explaining the third shavar, where he is explaining about the Anartha Nivritti. So, Anarthas coming out of offenses. These words he again quotes there and give the caution to the devotees that, so this doesn't exclude, like, you know, give you the exclusion from Nama Aparad or Seva Aparad. Like, Seva Aparad means, there are 32 Seva Aparads mentioned in like an 8th chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, and then some further corollaries to that. Like coming into the temple with in a palanquin, or coming to the temple by wearing a shoes, like that. So these are Seva Aparad. So Seva Aparad, maybe like, you know, while executing the devotion service, because many times we may not be aware of it. So, but once you come to know about that Seva Aparad, that this we are not supposed to do that, or somebody points out to you that this is not the right way of doing it. But if you still keep on making that Seva Aparad will naturally will become convert into a Nama Aparad. Because Seva Aparad is not so serious if you take it in a proper, like if you nip in the bud itself. Like Seva Aparad can be balanced with appropriate Aparaj Sodhana Mandras, like in the morning we after deity worship, we prayers, there are certain prayers we offer to the Lord. By that prayers or extra chanting, that can take care of Seva Aparaj. But intentionally you are, you know, because there is a difference between accident and deliberate doing. So this verse also is basically explains, you know, Nimilyava Netre means it is the eyes are like, you know, blindfolded. So that is, that doesn't mean that he is blind. For practical things, he is blind now, but he knows. So he knows the Vedic scriptural injunctions, but certain times he may have to skip according to the time, place and circumstances. So similarly, an accident and a deliberate execution of a Seva Aparaj has a different effect. So if it is an accidental thing, a sincere devotee, Krishna forgives him, he gives the corrective measures through some other devotee or something. But if he is deliberately again and again doing that, we will land up in going to Nama Aparaj. When Nama Aparaj comes, it's very difficult. So Vishwanatha Thakur says, even though holy name has the power, you know, Nama Aparaj, how does it affect? He says, the fire or that fiery property is inherent in a wood. So how does the Nama Aparaj covers up? Is like your Nama Aparaj is like making that wood wet. So even though that wood has the capacity to burn, but because of the wet, the fire will not be there, only smoke will be there. We may be thinking that I am keep on chanting, you know. And he says that, you know, holy name is powerful and you can't demand him anything. He used an example like a tree. There is a season, you know, the tree may be very healthy and, you know, everything is perfect, but the tree may not give the fruit. The fruit comes only in a particular season. You know, we can see that in farm, we are seeing that certain mango trees are there. They only give mangoes every alternative year. Not that every year they will give. So he says that even if you are chanting with all perfections, it doesn't need, guarantee that the holy name will give you the, without offense, if you are chanting, it will give you the full fruits. So it reserves his right to reveal to the right person at the right time. This is in context, Vishwanatha Thakur giving that Ajamil's case. You know, people sometimes ask, you know, Ajamil only just one time chanted, he got. So even before that incident, Ajamil was also daily calling his Narayan name of his son. That also was equally offenseless. But Vishwanatha Thakur says that, you know, holy name itself reserves the right to reveal it. So such verses are, one of the problems with the karma and jnana is that the shastras, even if you miss one of the elements, point here making it that even if you are only following one anga of bhakti, you have been glorified here, means you will get the reach the destination. But on the other side, karma, jnana, these processes, even if you miss even a small part, even 1% you miss, you won't reach the destination. And not only that, the shastra critically condemns them. But on the other hand, even if you are following only one aspect of the bhakti, shastra glorifies you. It gives you the guarantee that you will, you know, it never condemns a follower of devotional service. Even though he may fall sometimes, Jiva Goswami explains this in particular reference to the words like Abhichayatabhi Sudhuracharo, Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak, Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vyavasthito Hisa. So in respect to that, Jiva Goswami explaining that this Sudhuracharo, what does this Sudhuracharo means? Like he explains, in terms of the Shraddha, the faith a person has. Says there are generally two types of people having two different type of faith. One is having a Shastrik Shraddha, another is having a Laukik Shraddha. Laukik Shraddha means like a conventional level, traditional type of Shraddha, means like the culture in which you come. Like basically we all come from a background where you go to a temple, you anyway offer jandavas, means there is no need to tell us, because that was the culture we got. You know, by tradition or family culture, some people may be by birth itself, they are devotees of Krishna. Somebody may be Shiva or Ganapati or something like, but some fortunate enough to have Krishna as. But other type of devotees are there, those who are having a firm Shastric faith. So Jiva Goswami explains that this verse is not for the person who is having a Shastric faith. Because how can a devotee, being a dear person of the Lord, can commit such an aparadh? Means, like, you know, can commit a sinful activities. Now, sudhuracharo. So Jiva Goswami explains that this sudhuracharo doesn't mean that now you can do any damn thing in your life, any sinful activities. You know, sometimes, like, you know, we have experienced that many times we also get bombarded with various thoughts and other things comes into the mind. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur gives the explanation, like, you know, the devotee, he that badhyamano bi madbhakta vishaye rajitayendriya ana praya pragabhya bhaktya vishaye na abhibhuyate. So even though this constantly our mind or our previous karma is attacking a devotee from internally or harassing it, but a devotee is so brave, or his power of that devotional service will not allow that this anarthas to overcome that devotee, if he is sincere, provided. See, he gives an example, like in a warrior, a brave warrior, when he goes out for fight, it's not that he comes out without any, not even a small scratch in his body. Many times he gets severely wounded. Okay, but that doesn't put aside or like, you know, slows down his determination to fight. You know, it's a, like, you know, we can say that, you know, he's losing the battle but winning the war. Many times smaller small incidences comes in our life where we may put off, but these verses are giving us a hope that, you know, you don't need to give it up. Means our ultimate aim is the finally you have to win the war. Means, you know, you may be get severely or brutally wounded, but that doesn't, you know, the shastras gives us the hope that it is doesn't, bhakti doesn't consider those things, but finally if you reach the destination, it is considered as a victory for us. So there are other verses also, like in where, so such type of verses has to be, we need to study with a proper understanding what acharyas give. Otherwise, when you read in a, like, you know, when our own way, we may get carried away with the just literally meaning of that verses, like sudhuracharu. So there, Jiva Goswami further explains that the Shraddha, Shastric Shraddha devotee, he is always satisfied with whatever material conditions he has. He is not hankering for any material things. So how do you distinguish between a material, a Shastric Shraddha devotee and a Laukic Shraddha devotee? The same thing is even Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Jaiva Dharma while explaining Shraddha. So he says that the Shastric Shraddha devotee, he is very determined and he is very satisfied with whatever the internal, external circumstances may be. But internally, he is always hankering, he is not satisfied. He wanted to improve his standard of bhakti. He is not satisfied with, okay, 16 rounds is done, and I read once Bhagavadam. So he like to go deeper and deeper into the Shastras and into devotional service. But a Laukic faith, Shraddha devotee, superficially means externally, he is, seems to be very satisfied. But he is not, his hankering for material objects are not as satisfied internally. You know, he may say that, okay, I am doing 16 rounds, attending Mangalarati and everything, fine. My devotional aspect is done. He marks, ticks. Mark. But internally, he is craving for the material, like, you know, money, position, prestige, and all those things never goes down. So that makes the difference between. So even Gita gives an, like, you know, consolence, like, you know, is a consolence prize for such devotees. Even if they start the devotional service, okay, even if you fall sometimes, okay, fine. Because Jiva Goswami says the next verse, Krishna made it clear that they immediately they correct it, they come to a righteous position. That, like in third canto, there is another verse, like Yen Nama Dheya Saravanan Mukuna Arvind Yat Prahanat Yas Maranat Api Kuchis Shado Visadya Savanaya Kalpate Kutap Punaste Bhagavan Nudarshanat. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisance, or even remembers him. So Sridhar Swami in his commentary explains that this verse, Shado bi sadya savanaya kalpate, means like, so that doesn't mean that a devotee can, like, you know, he explains, even a dog eater can come to that level. you know. So in the, to the level of performing sacrifices. So he says the import of the purpose is that you know, we have to give the respect to that devotee, even if he is coming from a lower class or, you know, may not be a, like, you know, his pronunciation and etiquette may not be of the standard. But if we start processing, coming into the process of devotional service, we have to give him even that respect we give to a pure devotee. But he may not be able to practically do the sacrifices or something like that. He says that need, like, you know, various other things. Like, he gives the explanation that, for example, if you want to do Vedic sacrifices, you need to chant so many mantras and everything, which maybe this particular devotee may be coming to the bhakti maybe at the age of 30, 40 or something like that. But these sacrificial things and training happens in a very childhood, and it becomes very difficult for a person to change at a later stage. So that doesn't give, you know, a normal person to offend that devotee because, you know, you are coming from a lower family or something like. So throughout the scriptures, we can say that, you know, wherever, even if a person start a small endeavor for the bhakti process, the Shastra glorifies that devotee. Whereas karma, jnana, or this, even if you miss a small element, you are being criticized or condemned in that way. So such verses are not for an excuse to not follow the Vedic injunctions. You know? So otherwise it will become what the seventh offense, what he say in the morning, that we are committing offenses in the name of, in the, on the basis of holy name. Namna Baladasya hi Paba Buddhi. So Vishnu Chakri Thakur again explains, so how do you understand that you are committing that offense actually or not? He says that, you know, you don't feel the taste for devotional service, and you don't feel that, you know, there is an advancement coming from your internally, and you can see the traces of sins, sinful inclination for sinful activities in our own consciousness. That. So he says, what is the solution finally? Like, so he gives the analogy, like, you know, just a person get a fever. So immediately when a person get a high fever or something, we may administer some particular medicines, but that effect of that medicine won't come immediately. It takes some time, maybe like in 1 or 2 days to cool down that fever. So similarly, even if you start taking to the devotional service, so this type of the effect immediately you may not be able to see it. But what is the hope he gives is you keep on continuing it. Like, you know, when you are in a normal stage, like, you know, certain, like, milk is considered very healthy food for us, very nutritious. But when you are sick, you know, specifically doctors say don't take milk because you may not be able to digest it because of your ill health. So similarly, but after your sickness is over, so again you can continue with the milk. Okay. So similarly, when you are in an affected stage, like you are getting into the aparadha and all those things, sometimes you may not have the taste which earlier used to derive so much of taste and nourishment from certain activities. So during that sick period, you may not get that same taste or nourishment from that. But that doesn't mean that you have to completely give up such activities. You just patiently wait and try to find the rectification from appropriate sources like your guru, sadhu and shastra from that. So in conclusion, we have discussed about how the buddhi yoga or the bhakti yoga is in a superior position than the karma and jnana. And how the Lord inspires from within a sincere devotee who is trying his best to do the devotional service. And such revelation should not become a hindrance for a, you know, it should not become an instrument to make a concocted philosophy for us. And it's how to avoid that by understanding deeper meanings of such verses from our previous acharyas. They have given enough commentaries on such verses, how to accept in our own words, our own day-to-day life. Otherwise, if you are neglecting such warnings, you may land up in even nama aparadh. So there is, you know, somebody, it says that Shruti Smriti has so many, it may confusing a devotee that, you know, which type of instructions one should follow or one should not follow. Like, So the first thing we need to require is like, you know, Guru Pada Ashraya. That is the first Anga Rupa Goswami explains. Guru Pada Ashraya, that Krishna Diksha Shikshanam. It's like Guru Pada Ashraya, then you have to take Diksha and Shiksha in that way. Then Vishrambena Guru Seva. Now without having any reservations, you have to serve the devotee. And then sadhu, vartamanu, vartana. You have to follow in the footsteps of the sadhus. So all these scriptural injections, we can see that we may not be able to understand exactly how it has been mentioned. But when you are looking at our previous acharyas and our own contemporary devotees, or we have many, fortunate to have many senior devotees who are successfully following these instructions. So it's like, you know, given the example that sometimes, like in a medical shop, there are so many medicines are there. So everything is medicine there. But for a devotee, a particular devotee, what medicine is need to cure his disease, only as prescribed, in a bona fide doctor can only give that prescription. Otherwise, if you go to the medical store, and because anyway it is medicine, if you consume everything, you know what will happen to you. So all these Shruti Smriti injunctions are in that way. So it has to be taken with a caution and under the guidance of a bona fide guru. So these are my thoughts on this. So any comments, suggestions or questions on this?
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu, for explaining what is the reason why Krishna calls bhakti also as buddhi yoga. So just for going deeper, you said in karma yoga and jnana yoga, both mind rules. One place it is telling you to accept, and one place it is telling you to reject. And then only when intelligence rules over mind, that is why it is called buddhi yoga. So in jnana yoga, usually we say jnana yoga is how we connect to Krishna using our intelligence. Karma yoga is how we connect to Krishna using our body. Dhyana yoga is how we connect to Krishna using our mind. And bhakti is how we connect to Krishna using spirit soul. We offer sarvasva, we offer everything. So I just wanted to know, you know, from your discussion today, it appears that even in jnana yoga, mind rules over intelligence. Whereas the general understanding of jnana yoga is not that the mind rules over intelligence, whereas we use our intelligence in a speculative way, but at least, you know, the intelligence is being used to study this scripture, that scripture, and get an understanding of God. So can you give us some more understanding on this?
So when we say that mind controls the intelligence, see, in the jnana part we're discussing, it is specifically for the karmakanda type of jnana. So where the motive is, mind is pushing him to study. Like in the other, even karma also, the mind is the main inspiration for him, the mental level, to do the engage your body in certain type of activities. So intelligence is not independent of the mental control. But when it is comes to a bhakti yoga, so we control the mind using our intelligence. So but in the other aspect, the whatever minds take, the intelligence works according to that, means study. So that is the difference. It's clear, means
crystal clear.
Huh?
Crystal clear.
Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.